Good evening, Patriots. You know, it's interesting. The more I get into this music and healing, it's pretty phenomenal. I was a percussionist for years, and then I kind of left the formal percussion side of bands, and then I went into, later in my life, I started hand drumming and on African, I think it's a djembe drum, and I've started drumming again. And it's really interesting to watch just the physical effects that you feel from this. And I've been talking, obviously, a lot of, lately about the power of healing of energy. And the healing of frequency, which is very, very important. And it's the interesting thing is with percussion's interesting because you don't really... With drums, you can tune the physical drums, like snare drum and trap set. You can tune the heads, as any drummer knows. When you get into some of the African drums, there's a limited amount of tuning that you can do, very limited, on the traditional drums based on the skins that are on top of the drums. And then there is also, then you get into something like the cajon, which is a wood box, which I have and I play. And it's very interesting because the tone is not something, you don't tune it. It's already built out of the types of woods that you, that are chosen for select the box and those woods that resonate. And it's and the reason I bring this up is because traditionally drumming has been a very big healing aspect for older cultures, ancient cultures. And there was drumming therapies that were done. So if you go back to the old cultures like Mongolia, you go into West Africa, drumming was used as part of the therapeutic methods to heal. And they did this for thousands of years. So what's real interesting is when you get into the modern day science, and of course everybody wants to prove everything, it's not good enough to see the healing happen. You have to take it to the lab and but here's what they're finding. It's like crack up when they do this because it's like, oh, look at that. It's actually still proves true. And you get into the aspects of drumming that are truly healing. So you get into that reduces tension and anxiety and stress. You get into that it's a control for chronic pain. These are things that you can establish. It literally boosts the immune system. And it brings in a synchronicity with brain activity in the body. And that is proven because that's the rhythmic part of that that kind of opens you up and it opens up your capacity to reach a lot of your full brain capacity. And then there's this other connectivity with drumming. If you've ever been around a drumming group, it's pretty phenomenal. When people start to drum and what happens is there's just this kind of rhythmic place that happens in that whole space. Everybody starts to kind of connect with one another. And then you have the negativity that overweights us is dispelled through drumming. It's really pretty fantastic. And there's a lot to that. There's the physical aspect of being able to channel your frustrations out as you're striking the drum. And I'm talking really about hand drumming. And I'm not taking away from stick drumming. I'm just in particular focused on the hand drum tonight. And it brings you really into the moment. At the same time, it just completely like moves all that negativity out. And it's an amazing experience if you haven't done it. When we are looking at the current state of this attack on humanity, I'm stunned at how the older ways have so much relevance now, and probably more so than they ever have. And it gets down again to frequencies and energies and vibrations. And I think the biggest challenge that we have within Christian faith is to start realizing that, I mean, I personally have no question, no doubt in my mind when I tell you that much of this knowledge has been suppressed intentionally to try to make it sound like it's all pagan or all something else. When in fact, when we talk about singing of hymns, which is all through the Bible, dancing, we talk about rhythmic pieces like this. These were critical. These are really big issues of healing within the body and vibrations and these frequencies. And all of that is aligning us at one point or another, if done in the right space, is aligning us with God. Now, that's my belief. You can take it, leave it. You can tell me I'm full of craziness. That's fine. But this is what I know. I haven't been to a doctor in 20 some years, and I'm pretty healthy and I'm good. And I like the way I live. So, take it, leave it, whatever it's worth. But it's a powerful place. And it, you know, like when you run, for example, and I love to run. I really injured my hip a few years ago, so I haven't run near as much as I used to. But I like to run because there's a rhythm when you're running, and you can feel that rhythm in your feet, and you can hear it, and it's a really neat rhythm. And just when you get into your pace, it doesn't matter whether your pace is fast or slow; it's irrelevant. It's just that rhythm of the feet hitting the ground, and you're connected. It's a really great place, and all of those things are part of who we are. And I think the biggest challenge that we face, I mean, as we deal with what's real about our faith and what's real about us and what's real about our world, is center to all things. If we can accept simply that we are spiritual beings through and through, that the entire experience here is spiritual, not physical, we begin to appreciate the many things around us that are always blocked off or suggested to be like woo-woo science or crazy tin hat or whatever that is. You know, everything has a frequency and a vibration. Everything does. There's a light spectrum of vibration and frequency. Everything has energy. And when we start to appreciate that our existence is spiritual in its sense, we start to appreciate the power of the world around us well beyond the physical. We're existing and experiencing a physical life in the challenges of trying to maintain, to grow our spiritual. And as we let go of the connectivity and the dependence on physical things, and that includes all of the worries that come with the physical. So you, and don't take this like I'm telling you to suddenly go out and walk in the world naked, but follow me on this. As we embrace the elevation of material goods, which tends to happen, so we go through this progression that's an artificial progression, which is this, and it kind of goes like this. You grow up, it doesn't matter where you grow up, you're going to strive to get out of the place you are, and you're going to want to get a big salary to raise your income, to buy more things, to acquire a bigger house, to acquire more accumulation of items, to build into the statuses-ish of life, which are cars, which are shoes, which are clothes that you wear, the places you go out to dinner. All of these things are part of identifiers that you have succeeded in life. And in there, there's nothing. It's an emptiness. Now, that isn't to say, as I say so many times, God doesn't want us being poor. He doesn't want us out here with a tin cup, but it's all priorities. So what does it look like? And I can't give you an exact example, but if you think about living in a different way, which I've really tried to do heavily since 2016, which is to let go of all of that material bindings of things and to turn it over to God and see where you end up. And it's pretty phenomenal. I have to tell you, I've been humbled more times than I can possibly count in how God provides right at that time. And to walk a path that is trusting in Him and being committed to the path of doing as He guides. So it's different than say, I'm going to trust in God, I'm going to sit on a street corner and put out my hands and go, okay. Or I'm going to trust in God, I'm going to sit on my couch and wait for the bills to be paid. That's not what we're talking about, right? But in this path that you walk, it's phenomenal to me when we reprioritize and let go how little we really need. Because we don't need that much. And yet how much we gain. And how rich life becomes. Everything seems to, when we give it to God, there's always seems to be suddenly more time to do things. There's a more robust life to do things. There's a greater range of things we can do. And it's an amazing walk we get into that place. You look at your schedule when we're trying to control our schedule, for example, and you list all these things out and you go, this is what I got to get done today. And you don't get done and you get frustrated. And then as you get frustrated, it's like the list gets more complicated and you get more stress, more anxiety. And it just, and then you do this kind of, I'm going to power through it. And I was doing this a few weeks ago. I had this laundry list of stuff I was working on and I was just beating my head on it. So finally I just did that, what I should have done at the very beginning. I just kind of made the list, didn't put any date on it. I just said, okay, God, let's get these things done. And I went through the list the other day and I'm like, wow, you know, here it is. I'm making huge progress and significant progress. All the sticks, there's still a couple big leaps I've got to get over, which, I mean, just things I've got to get accomplished, which are going to get done this month. But I've let it go to God to guide through this, right? And I've just taken the stress off. And suddenly, like, I find a little more time in to do the stuff that I need to do in the morning, or I find time in the evening where I was not identifying it before, or maybe, I don't know. It's just like all of a sudden I have more time to be in the garden, and I'm still getting all the other work done. I'm still getting the personal things that I want to get done every day for my professional and personal development. That's happening. I'm still putting all the time in that I need. I've all the time that I need to get, you know, the podcast done, which take, you know, 8 hours a day or so. And things are just moving beautifully. And as I push into that, then other things arrive. And there's more gifts that come to make all that more possible. And you start to realize where, you know, just how beautiful the dance with God is because you trust in Him. And then you sit back and you look at your to-do list, which it's always a good feeling when you can go check, done, you know. But all of that is centered on where we place ourselves versus where we try to control our destiny. When we try to take control, and this is where the list thing gets really, it's a slippery slope because we want to get stuff done, but then when we obsess about it, we start to replace the trust in God with our obsession to get the list done. And this is, again, the part of the trap of the current world we're in because there are these rigid deadlines. So let me give you an example. This is a really good one. And I was working with an ad agency years ago, and there was a really talented graphic designer. And what he would do is he would come in and he'd kind of go over the stuff that he needed to do for the day. And he would literally sit at his desk and just kind of think and doodle about the stuff that, of what the client wanted. And so his day productivity was almost unmeasurable. And then he would come back at night, like around 3 a.m, and he would just bust out the best work ever. He just needed that time to let things settle. And sometimes it might go, you know, a couple days, and then he would come in and just, he'd always make his deadlines. So they hired a new business manager to the ad agency, and they did. It was crazy because the work that he was doing just went down the toilet. And this was kind of near the end of when we were using this ad agency, and I went down and met with him. I was a national director of marketing at that time, and I was like, what's going on, man? I just don't quite get it. He says, well, this is what they've done to me. He said, and I knew how he worked, and I thought it was awesome. He said, they've now put me on the clock. So in the day, I have to punch in at 8 and I have to punch out at a certain time. And if I come back in after hours, then I have to, every bit of time that I do, I have to bill to the client. So if I sit here in the day to try to just process, it's not productivity for the client. I have to still bill that to the client. Well, that's just a profit model. And that was the other thing we noticed is the bills went out the roof. I mean, like crazy. Suddenly projects that were costing us $5,000 became $20,000. And all of this was about somebody wanting to make a lot more money for nothing, and then at the same time squeezing someone who had an amazing gift and talent and a process of work that worked very much in flow with life. And I think I've always kept that as an example because once we start to force ourselves into a time frame and a pattern, we set our goals out there and we put those to God and we say, okay, this is where I need to be. And then we have to kind of sit back a bit and let things start to come together, because when they do, they spark and they light off and things happen so fast. But when we're forcing it, we're basically pushing against the stream. And I think that metaphor is important, because we should be trying to flow with the river, not trying to swim up river. And in particular, not swim up the current, but flow with the current. If you've ever gone down a river, at like a class 3, class 4, class 5 rapid, class 5 in particular, they will wake you up. But the class 5 rapid, when you're going down there, there is a line you have to follow. And you've got to stay on that line. And if you try to get down there and you try to turn around, you're going to get chewed up, spit out, and hopefully you'll survive it, because it's brutal. But flowing with the river is when you're there and you're moving with the river, it is unbelievable how wonderful it is. And to just be able to go with things. So we're in a point right now in our country and in our time and our day, which I think every day we have a choice to make. And it's an important choice to make of whether we're going to try to anticipate the future or whether we're going to simply enjoy this ride and take it all in as we go and set our goals that we want to do, be untouched and unfazed by the many acts of stupidity that are around us right now, and enjoy this ride, or if we're going to get derailed and pulled off to the other side. I'm saying all this because in a certain sense right now, if you remember the story of Lazarus, we're sitting at that point right now. We have two worlds. The king who is in Hades, we're going to call that our vaccinated, okay? And then we have Lazarus, who's with Abraham. And right now, things are pretty copacetic. Each side is kind of looking over at each other, and they're like, oh, I've got my side better than your side. Though Abraham's not saying much, and Lazarus isn't saying anything. The other side's cooing around, dancing. But things are going to change on that other side. And in the meantime, we're not touching. And as they try to make a big deal about trying to start talking about, we're going to take your rights away, it's very much like the king eating all the food and not even giving anything to Lazarus. And if we let ourselves, we're going to fall to the feeling of Lazarus, where we feel like we're at the gate and we're dying or suffering. But that's a choice that we have to make. But if we're going to sit over here and really sit over here strong in that side where Lazarus and Abraham were, then what we're going to be doing here is we're just focusing on the beauty of our world. We're focusing on the things that we want to accomplish, the goals that we want to make, the great things. And I'm not talking about, the goals of, I'm going to make $1 million. All of that comes with the process of tying in closely with our gifts and talents. It was very clear to me when I started this journey that God wanted me in the area of sound and music. I had been doing film and photography for a long time, and when I made this shift over, it was a pull to do primarily sound and sound engineering, podcasting, music, those things on that side of the spectrum. And it's not that I won't do some more films, because I have another couple eventually I will do, but that was the priority that God pulled me into. So when we get spinning around and we start going fast on things and we get pulled into one side, like you're looking at building the business or you're doing this piece or that piece, and pretty soon you have to kind of sit back and take a breath and okay, God, where did you want me and where do you want me now? And typically I find, for me, that God pretty much puts me right back where it's like, I asked you to be here. You're like, okay. And as you kind of refocus that, the world, all the issues of the world fall away. When you read news, it seems like a comedy show. When you look at things, it seems like a comedy show. And there's a very solid sense of that. And so essentially what I believe a lot of that is as we are letting go, we're literally living within the kingdom of God here on earth. And it is as he says, I will protect you. Have faith and you will be protected. And as we see that and accept that, the rest of the world kind of falls away. And I don't think there's ever been a better time to witness this than right now. I also believe very strongly that as you let the anxieties and you let the fears and you let the angers creep in to your side, those lines, that distance between Lazarus and the king, start to blur. And pretty soon you start to find yourself drifting in this metaphorical story of Lazarus and the king. You're drifting into the king's space. You're kind of going into Hades. But as long as you sit over here in this world and you've let God sit there and you're like God work with you and work through you, all the other stuff falls apart. And it is like you're looking over at Hades. You're like, man, what is that crazy place? So when we sit there and we let all that get to us and we start to violate our, you know, God's laws, and we start to lose control of ourselves, we are going to drift into there. But if we sit over on this side of the world where we can observe it and just let it go. I do my podcast every day. You're here, and I unleash on the left plenty of times, but it's a matter of really how much do we bring into our heart about it? How much do we let it eat on us? And how much do we let it possess us and control us? Because once we start to let those emotions in deep into our heart, we're going to leave this kingdom of God and we're going to drift over there. I'm not saying you can't come back. I'm not saying any of that, but there is a protective bubble around us when we're living in this place. And right now it's very clear that it's there. So as we are sitting there in this place and we are breathing and reflecting and letting God guide us, that other world, as in the story of Lazarus, gets farther and farther away. The distance becomes unbridgeable. We can't touch it. They can't touch us, even though we can see each other and hear each other. I think it's an important metaphor to keep in our hearts as we go through the day, because as we do, we begin to see this world very differently. If you're living alone, or if you're living with a family, or however that is, as you start to grasp hold of this, you're starting to realize that you're not alone at all, and they can't get near you unless you let them. Now, some of that's difficult when you're dealing with family and loved ones, and there's conflicts. They're judging you because you didn't take an injection. They're telling you that, you know, your faith is crazy. That is a situation you have to push into God and trust in God and let that other go. And this is the hardest part, I think, overall for everybody right now, is having to step back and let go of these relationships that we thought were so secure. Our only true love and connection needs to be in Christ and Christ to the Father. And when we let go of everything else, which is not easy, and when we love everything through Christ, all that physical attachment, all that corporal love type relationships just dissipate. And we go to a higher order of love, which is agape. And as we exist within the agape love, and we're trusting in God and we're trusting in Christ, then we're able to walk in this place very much out of the reach of that darkness that tries to pull us in. The interesting thing is when you take this and you look at how this is playing out, and I've mentioned this before, and this is definitely not Christian beliefs at all what I'm going to share, but it's very important to consider this, I think, is where we are. The age of Aquarius, the end of the Mayan calendar, and then this other concept that through a place within the universe where the actual galaxy is. In the universe, there's a discussion of how the worlds are dividing into a third, fourth and fifth degree realms, and the third is peeling off. Okay. Now, again, not a Christian beliefs. That doesn't mean they're invalid. It's just something to look at. But all of those three examples I gave you all talked about an end of the old and a beginning of the new and the potential to have a divide. There's no question. Nobody can say that this is things as normal. And I don't, if anybody believes that there isn't a major end coming right now, they've either been spending way too much time at their bong gatherings or something. But man, I'm telling you, it is absolutely evident that all things are coming to an end. Now, where they go is the big question. And here's something to think about. We are working a lot right now on a principle of either or, meaning the Great Awakening or the Great Reset. The Great Awakening being that of the Patriots, and obviously the way we're interpreting it is the path of God and the narrow gate and that path of righteousness and living truly within God's law and God's love and faith. The Great Reset is very much the wide gate. It's the darkness, it's the enslavement. What's interesting is when you look at how other spiritualities have looked at this, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but they see this as a decision that's being made right now, not at a physical level. And this is why I bring this up, because we are looking at this as a decision that's being made as a physical response, a conscious decision to go with the vax or not. Other groups look at this as a decision that's being made at a soul level, of whether their soul is ready to move on or whether it's going to stay behind. This is outside of Christian structure of life. I just find these things interesting to reflect upon. And I say that because when you look at the commitment to the way these people are making and the absolute dedication that they're making to going to take that vax, it's greater than just it's not just like I'm getting the vax. There's a celebration going on. It's like, I have it. And they'll tell you, I got the vax. I got an appointment to get the vax, whatever. You're like, oh, that's kind of weird. But it's almost like there's a nurturing part that they're seeking. That's like, hey, I'm finally going to be taken care of. And that kind of goes to that place where I say it's like they're seeking a salvation through something through man. And in so doing, they're walking away from God. It's a devastating thing to witness. The question is, as with Lazarus, which is why I go back to that story, is was it that the king was being punished as a greedy person, or was it that his soul was so immature that he had to go through a trial in Hades in that story to be able to evolve? I don't know. It's something to speculate. So this is a time we're in, and it's a time where many things are ending. I'm seeing a bunch of comments here about prayers for Israel. Let me put something else in perspective for you. And you're not going to like this, but I'm going to put it here. Israel has mandated the vaccination of most of its country. It has the first case in front of the World Court against crimes against humanity. They have forced a vaccination on their citizens. And now they're under a war. So my question to you, which I would ask, is this Biden's doing, which is one piece I heard tonight, or is this God's doing? See, this is one of these difficult places that there's, and I've said this before as well, there's an immediate jump to defending Israel. Israel's a Rockefeller-run state. Rothschilds run state. It was the Rothschilds that set it up. So don't be so quick. The Israelis themselves, the Jewish people that are there, the Israelites, I should say. Yes, I have total empathy for those that are getting under attack. That's not something we want to see. But the government is as corrupt as ours. Don't forget that. And the land was, the whole thing was set up by the Rothschilds, which takes us back to what they call the Red Jews, which links you to Ukraine, which links you to Kurdistan, which links you even to the Nazi regime, if you do the history run on it. So be careful how quickly you are to jump to the defense. Our government is, we think of ourselves for a long time, we thought of ourselves as the land of the free. We are the home of Luciferian sickness. I want to be clear about that. Our country is the home of Luciferian sickness. And if you want to talk about a country that has exported more hell around the world, Washington, D.C. Central, there you go. So it is, we are talking about the freeing of humanity. And with the freeing of humanity are the fall of governments. And this is a global war. It's not a local war. It's not just a local vax thing. This is a war being waged by a very ruthless cabal with a massive global hand and organization that is being, it is attacking the entire globe. Keep in mind as well that all indications that a research has been done, Mossad was behind the attacks on 9/11. So again, biblically and present, sometimes the two don't line up. Anyway, our faith is central to all of this. And in our faith, it's about each other. It's not about governments. It's about ourselves holding to that place of God and not being influenced by the things you see on TV or the panicked reports that come across the news. When we start to jump into those places and we start to get ourselves all worked up because of what we're hearing on the news or hearing in flash reports, we have to go to our place of, in my opinion, we have to go to that place of faith and hold that line very clearly and calmly with God. God is moving this world right now in an amazing way. And what news tries to do is tries to tell you and exactly what's going on as if it's the eyes of God. It's just like, oh yeah, you really know what's going on. If we sit back and just watch calmly, just avoid the news and listen closely, you're going to know more about what's going on in the world. And what's really interesting is the more we do that and the noise goes farther away, it's like all the chaos goes away. And this is, again, I'm going to finish here with this perspective. In the world of Lazarus, in this Lazarus and the king, okay, this is important. The king's world that he can see, they two can see each other. They're two worlds that can't touch. So the question I'm asking you here is, when you get wrapped into the world that the news is portraying for you, whose world are you in, Lucifer's or God's? It's very clear about this because there's two kingdoms here. And whether you read headlines or whether you read, watch TV, the question I'm asking again and again is, whose world do you want to be part of? There is a very significant programming that has been put into every single human being on this planet that if you are not listening to the news, you don't know what's going on. That's a profound statement because it's telling you that news is God's voice. If we are sitting over here and we think of Lazarus and he's sitting with Abraham, he's comfortable, he's calm, there is, his world is right there. They're looking at the king who is in Hades. He's now desperate. He's needing water. He's begging them to go to help them. And what does Abraham say? No. Is that cruelty? Is that punishment? Or is it the understanding that the two worlds cannot cross? That there were choices made in the world that you are in, you must live through now, and we can't reach to you because if we do, we will corrupt the world we're in. That metaphor again of the river, it's wide now. We're now where the river's beginning to get ready to roll into the ocean. It's wide. You can't stand in the middle of the river. Once you get into the river, you have to make a decision. And on each bank, you can't just do a quick wade across because the current and everything is going to sweep you away. So as you are sitting through these moments and the anxieties are going up, you're starting to see active shooter events again. We haven't seen them. It's amazing. We didn't see them for a while, and then all of a sudden they start happening again. Why? Probably because they're testing out their new injection to see how well it's working on people, to see if they can really control the population the way they think they can. But it's time to pick a I'm going to use exactly what was just said on the board. It's time to pick a shore. It's time to pick a side. You have to decide. You can't sit in the middle, and you can't be living on both sides. Because if you live on both sides, you're literally going to drown in the middle of the river. It's literally like having a couple beers and then swimming across the river and think you're going to be okay. I can tell you this. There's been more people die for that exact reason. They get in the middle of the river and they start to tread water and they can't hang it and they drown. So this is time to decide. If you're going to be on this side of the river, you stay in prayer, you stay focused on God's kingdom, you shut off the news, you shut off the outside influences, you quit trying to read and interpret the events because you can't. We're in this place of post-truth, which is a gift, not a burden. And as a gift, what we're allowing, it's forcing us to do is to turn to God and say, God, I trust you fully. Tell me what you want to do. And it's the same answer every time. Love thy neighbor as you wish to be loved. Help one another. Help those in need, especially, and give voice to those that need, that have no voice. That's going to be the same thing every time, in addition to have no fear and all will be provided. Every time you turn to God, you're going to get a similar answer of some fashion that's going to be channeled within the way that you do things in your life. That's the world we're in. If you choose to start reaching across and start reading into the news and getting yourself dialed up about events, you are leaving the kingdom. And you're stepping out and you're leaving that side of Abraham and that story metaphor I've been using here, and you're starting to try to take the steps down to Hades. And I guarantee you, the minute you step off that place where Abraham is, it's not a matter of how of a very short, a long distance down to Hades. You're just going to fall. And then you're going to have to climb back up, which is going to be very difficult. Ultimately, this is the problem that most people have. And this is not a criticism. It's the way the church has been taught. It's always like faith is a soft thing. I make a few mistakes, no big deal. That is not the way things have worked. Our path should be constantly to live a more virtuous life and to get rid of more and more of the sins every day that we do by nature. It is a progress and it is a discipline. It's not something that you turn on now and turn off now. So when we get back to this anxiety thing in news, there is not an in-between here. It's not like we get to sit over here and go, well, guess what? Today I'm going to be obsessed about the things I can't possibly control and tomorrow I'm not going to be. Every time you do that, you're making a decision that's affecting things in a big way in the relationship you have with God. And I know a lot of people don't like that idea because they like to think that once they have accepted Christ in their heart, there's no more worry. Well, if that was the case, then what about those that accepted Christ in their heart, took the injection and walked away with God and took salvation through a needle? We are accountable in these actions and every time and every breath we take. And if you aren't going to accept accountability for your actions, good luck at the end on how that's going to work out. You don't get a free pass in this world just because you put Christ in your heart. You have work to do. We all have work to do. And that's where we are. My walk here is a walk with faith. And it's a walk of time, of staying consistent on this path. And it's a path that is a discipline every day. A great warrior never deviates, stays disciplined into the training and what they need to do every single day. And if we take our faith that way, we become extremely strong. If people think that news and think that there's some sort of difference between faith and patriot stuff, If that's how you believe, this probably isn't the right place for you. Because here, what we build is very strong, is always back to the foundations of faith. You have to work on that, and that's the grounding point of all things. And those deviations that we make affect things. We are accountable, and this is an army, and we are in this together. So it's a choice at the end. Do we want to live in the kingdom of God and live powerfully in this place that we're rebuilding this world and reshaping it? Or do we want to try to live in the middle, which you won't do, and in the end be sucked away? And that gets back to that powerful place of being strong in your center points, strong in your foundations, strong in your core. And as you do all those things and align with God, we stand boldly in this moment, and we're unwavered by any of this stuff that's around us. We're unaffected by the junk that's being put in the air or whatever else is being done. And we totally walk in this place as the light that Christ wants within us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together each and every day. We thank you for the strength that you give us and the blessings of wisdom and insight that each of us is given. We pray in this point, Lord, for the continued strengthening of our resolve and our position in life to let go of those hooks and lures and temptations that are put out there on a daily basis. The temptations that we can't see, the temptations that work in our mind, the temptations that try to lure us away from the path of faith, to corrupt us with the fears and anxieties, the panics, the concerns, and forgetting, unfortunately, in those moments that timing is yours and you were walking a perfection that only you can create, and that we can't see that perfection from where we sit, but that we have to trust totally in you. And in so doing, we gain the greatest reward of all. Lord, as we walk in this time, give us the strength to stand boldly against this darkness, to never waver, to constantly push forward with the love, to build bridges and heal the many, to awaken the hearts, and to stand boldly in this time as your soldiers, soldiers of Christ in a time of war, that become the lanterns that others find, the hope that others seek, as we walk an unwavering path in our love with you, the empowerment of the body of Christ, and the light that you provide for all of us from within. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. These are not going to become easier times. And the noise is going to get more so. The temptations around you are going to get greater. The threats are going to increase. They're panicked because their plan is not working. It's being revealed step by step. And there's a group of people out here that is defiantly holding that line. That's us and others like us. But they will increase the pressure, and they will increase the noise, especially with events around the world. There's so many things happening right now, and they're going to be shaking things up constantly to try to keep everybody off base. If you want to see how that works, just watch Fauci. Watch what he says today and watch what he says on Friday. I guarantee you it'll flip at least twice. And that's part of building anxiety, because the more anxiety that they can develop, the more willing people are to get rid of that anxiety and do whatever they ask them to do. Remember, this is about people using their free will to accept enslavement. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, I just point this out, that Israelites left, and there were still many slaves left in Egypt. The other point to bring up is the slaves had to be forced out. They didn't just get up and leave. They were pushed out by the former masters. We're now released from that place. We're walking. There are still many in that enslavement place. I don't know what that looks like spiritually. I don't know if God's going to rewrite a story like Exodus, where it becomes his chosen, and we're going to leave the others behind. But I know that in the time we're at right now, since we don't know that story, it should behoove us all to try to constantly reach across to show them a way over, but not step into their world or be affected by it. Our joy that illuminates from where we are, our strength that illuminates from where we are, is the one beacon of hope and light that they have. And as we stand boldly here and they can see it, they have choices to make to try to reach it. I don't think those doors are closed, but it's on them to find the way to it. They have to make the choices. As they make the choice to walk away, they have to make the choice to return. You can't fix that. We can't fix that. But we can be the light that they need to see the path and make the choice to walk the path if they so choose. That is accountability. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Keep your prayers up. Keep yourself focused on that amazing voice in alignment with God. God will never forsake us. He never leaves us. And in the end, God always wins. And we have a very important part of that victory for him. This is the Lord's fight. It will be, the victory will be his. And we are an active part of that victory. So see you in the morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. Or 8 a.m. Eastern, I'm sorry. 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time. God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights spent pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it. Change.
this faith when your soul answers calls far away.